When it comes time to make a decision in your life, do you have like a favorite method that you go to? When I asked at one of my four messes today, someone started playing paper, scissors, rock. And I was like, well, that's okay, but you can actually play that with yourself. You kind of need someone else to play with. So if there's a couple of people, that makes sense. But anyway, I didn't question this good sister on the occasion. Of course, there's a whole kind of industry that is built around decision making, discernment. There's a whole series of within Christianity. Obviously, Saint Ignatius was a great developer of systems of discernment of spirits and working out how to make that choice. And you can do all kinds of analysis, all kinds of different processes to work your way through. And obviously, as a church, we are trying to make sense of this in the synodal movement of how do we come to a conclusion? How do we reach agreement? How do we discuss in an adult way the questions that impact upon the life and the ministry of our churches? Well, Joshua today gives us a different way forward because he gathered the whole community together. They conquered the land finally. They'd made their way through the desert of the wilderness of Sinai. They'd crossed the River Jordan. They'd made their way into the Promised Land. And he knew that he needed to get the people with one mind and one heart once again. So he gathered them in the very center of the nation of Israel, not that it had become that yet, at Shechem, which had become a shrine, the only place, you know, long centuries before Jerusalem would even be established. And so he gets them there and he tells them the story. He reminds them of their history. We don't get the full version in our lectionary reading. We just get the first couple of verses of Joshua 24 and then the last part. But the rest of that story, it's beautiful and it's worth reading later on as he reminds them of the story of Abraham, that he was a foreigner. He was away from the land. He was over the other side of the river, this unimaginable distance away. And yet God spoke to him. Even though he was so far and so far away, God addressed him, God encountered him, God called him, God invited him. And he and Sarah were faithful to that call and eventually made their way to the land that they were now possessing. And even though it had been more than 500 years since the time of Abraham, there was still this sense of expectancy and hope and anticipation. And Joshua reminds the people, look, the land where you are, it's full of fields that you did not plant. There are trees producing fruit that you did not grow. There are houses that you did not build. And yet God in his providence has given us all of this. So he then leads them into this decision by making a declaration himself. He says, look, it's up to you. But as a good leader, he's going to demonstrate one way forward. And he's in reminding them, this is the way. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because there are other choices that are there. They've moved into an area where there are other gods that are being worshipped. Gods that in some ways feel more impressive than the God Yahweh. You know, Baal was this really warrior kind of God. God who was able to control the weather, it seems. There were the fertility gods and, you know, everyone likes a bit of sex in their lives. So having fertility gods is surely a good part of that. There were the warrior gods, gods that were going to be able to protect them when they went into battle. So Yahweh wasn't the first choice for some of these people. But for Joshua and his household, God was the only one that he was prepared to worship. And so he set himself there. He invited the people just to be conscious that this was the choice that he was making. What will you do? How will you respond? How will you choose today? Because we always get the chance to choose. Throughout our lives, there's always those opportunities where we get to make a decision. We may not think it's necessarily making a choice between the worship of God and not worshiping God, but ultimately that's what it comes down to. When I make a choice that's more simply about my comfort, more about my pleasure, more about opportunities to grow in wealth and prestige, they're not necessarily acts of worship of the one true God. But if we make that choice, if today we say with Joshua that, as for me, I will at least make that choice to serve the Lord. I will offer my heart to God. I will make that decision to follow the way of Jesus, even though the language that he says is sometimes intolerable. You know, as I saw during the week, you know, someone saying, what God invites us to do is rarely comfortable. You know, it's much easier just to say, look, Lord, you know, my sins aren't too great. They're not too horrendous. They're not, you know, causing too much of a problem. Can't I just stay in these little comfortable sins that I've developed in my life? You know, it's quite pleasant. It's quite nice the way I've lived my life until this point. Why do I have to change? Why do I have to give up these areas of sin in my life? And yet Jesus will say, well, if you want to be free, if you want to live life, if you want to find this possibility of actually experiencing life to the full, then you need to make that kind of commitment that Joshua makes today, that Jesus invites his disciples to also make. I mean, it's kind of easy in one way to join with Peter and say, well, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. But we need to stand on the truth. We need to stand with our eyes firmly open to what God is inviting us and calling us in. Now, did it work for the people of Israel? Did they suddenly become this God-fearing, faithful, covenant-bearing people of the Lord? No, because if you turn the page, you open the book of Judges, and you see that their lives slowly begin to completely unravel until they become this violent, hate-filled, warmongering kind of community that is misogynistic and awful in the extreme. Like, if you want the worst example of what people can be, read the book of Judges. It's just an awful presentation of everything that goes wrong with humanity. But for us, we still get to make that decision. Will we offer our hearts at least today? I mean, we know from science and from neuroplasticity and from the way that we make decisions, that if I make that kind of firm and concrete decision today to serve and worship God, I'm just much more likely to make that decision on Monday morning. And if I make that decision on Monday morning, then I'm much more likely come Monday afternoon to do the same thing. And then Tuesday, I will again be just prepared to make that choice to serve the Lord, to worship Him, to choose the way of service, the way of humility, the way of love, the way of obedience, the way of grace, rather than the way of pleasure, the way of comfort, the way of seeking wealth and fame and all the other stuff that fills our lives. Let's indeed join with Joshua, join with Peter, join with Jesus in making that decision today and saying, yes, I don't know exactly what this means, but for me and for the people that are around me, Lord, I want to give my life to you. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. Help me to do.